Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, podcasting, right? And it's one of my favorite topics to talk about how you're going to make money using a podcast, how you're going to get clients using a podcast, and how the secret answer is not always get a sponsor. So we have an expert today who's going to talk about that. I am so excited to have him. So let me tell you a little bit about him. So Adam Homme is a speaker, author, trainer, and consultant with nearly 20 years experience helping business creators win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion while making the difference for your community, market, and audience. As creator of the Reach System, Adam helps you exponentially reach more profitable customers by launching business building podcasts. And I have to tell you, Adam, I'm so excited. This is one of my favorite topics. It's something I teach all the time. And so I just know this conversation is going to be great. So thank you so much for being here with me.
Well, I got to tell you, Patty, first of all, I'm honored by the opportunity. And second, I see the work you do through some of your own programs. I know this is an area you help some of your clients with as well. And you've shown leadership in this whole area of using podcasting as a business building tool. So I'm very excited about having this conversation and us getting the opportunity to share some strategies and maybe even do a little on the spot masterminding here. You do great work and I have a lot of respect for it.
Thank you so much, Adam. I appreciate that a lot. So I have to tell you, I want to dive right in here. And you know, you have like what, 3 podcasts, right? And
yep.
So that's a lot. So that's great. So I love it. You know, you're an expert in your field and podcasting is a question that people ask all the time. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time somebody asked about that for me, it really cracks me up, right? You know, so we know podcasting, no matter which side of the mic you're on, is very, very important in how you can get clients, right? So today I want to talk a little bit from both sides of the mic, right? I think that is really important. But I have to tell you, I have to start with something that while I was kind of checking out all your stuff, I love it. You put out really great quality things. I saw something that super grabbed my attention, stopped the scroll, so to speak. You were talking a little bit about this Clint Eastwood style, and that really caught my attention. So I just have to start with that because I just want to make sure we get it in. So tell us a little bit about this Clint Eastwood story. I love it.
Oh, yes, yes. Within the podcast Reach system, we have a whole segment that's known as the pre-editing process. And to put it in a sentence, this is a combination of how you design your show flow and how you conduct your interviews in such a way where your raw product will require little to no editing and post-production other than adding your bumpers, your commercials, and your sponsorship spots. To fuel that, we like to reference what we call the Clint Eastwood director style. If you see Clint, you know he's created a lot of movies. He's actually been on both sides of the camera for well nigh over 40 years now. He's been directing since basically the 1970s. Some purists criticize his style because what he does not do is do 20, 30, 40 takes of each scene. In most cases, when he films a scene in one of his movies, they do it in one take. If necessary, 2, but usually 1. This is for 2 reasons. This is so A, he can create a sense of moving forward. It gives everybody in the production a sense that they've actually accomplished something today. And two, so that he can produce a larger amount of quality content. And again, a few purists have criticized the method. And for them, I say, get off my lawn. He's had so much influence on our popular culture, on our lexicon. And we all know Gran Torino, Million Dollar Baby, some of the movies he's made about wars, things like that. So he's very iconic when it comes to some of his creations, especially since now he's spending almost all of his time behind the camera rather than in front of it. That's why he does it. It's the idea of creating momentum so that people feel like the production is happening. And because as soon as he finishes one project, he's already ready to move into the next project. So he doesn't want to be held back by take after take after take after take and excessive editing. We share this with our clients. We share this with our community. Because as podcasters, as hosts, I want you to become comfortable with the idea that what you create on the first pass is what you're going to use.
And I think that makes so much sense too. And one of the things that I really love and agree with you on is that the reality is the path to profitability is really in the planning, right? And it's like that with everything. I mean, when I work with my clients, everything is about the heavy lifting, so to speak, that you do up front. And the more you do up front, the rest of it is just so much easier, right? And so I really love that you talk about that. And I really want to get into that, like the planning. Like, and I know this is the part that's really your expertise is really, you know, working with people on the front end to really get that process down. And once you do, I mean, the getting on the camera and having a conversation, you're right. If you don't have to do take after take after take, it's really about the conversation and the flow of that, which is much easier if you've already done the work up front for everything else. So let's talk about how important that planning and flow in the beginning is before you even get to the camera or the mic.
A few things you want to have in play. Number one is a smooth intake process for bringing your interview guests in. Whether you have them schedule time up front or you have them fill out an application first and then invite them. Whatever the process is for qualification or vetting, you want to get as much information from your guests up front as possible. This will make it easier for you to understand where their brilliance and their passion lay and how you can best shine the spotlight on them to make them enthusiastic about sharing their appearance on your show. This will get you more reach and get them, in effect, working for you, helping you promote your show. We put a lot of emphasis into designing your show flow. And Patty, you do a great job of this yourself. Before you and I began our interview and we were in the pre-interview game room, you went through step by step what this interview is going to consist of. It gives me a strong sense of what to say and when to say it. And it also sets the expectations for how this is going to go. So there's less likely to be any mishap in the first place. You've demonstrated to me that you have a strong show flow, which itself will facilitate creating a great final product. I want to take half a step ahead here, and I want to own in on something specifically. Within the Reach curriculum, we offer three tactics you can use if, you know, you're like concerned about your, you know, verbal pauses. On one hand, you may want to say, okay, so I say every once in a while, big deal. If you want to correct that, rather than spend hours and hours and hours on post-production editing trying to find every and trying to clip this and every you know and like and right and clipping all that out and trying to make it look like you said a complete sentence with no verbal pauses or no verbal interjections at all, better to just solve the problem up front if you choose to do so. I go into some podcasting groups and I see conversation after conversation of, well, this interview was great, but my guest said, like, you know, 34 times. Should I have them re-record? Am I going to be able to use this episode? And I say, yes, run it as is. That's their authentic speaking style. They are on your show because they are looking to expand their reach. They're looking to attract business. And people are going to recognize and resonate with their authenticity. That's who they really are. That's how they really speak. It's not your responsibility as a host to fix your guest. And it's also not your responsibility as a host to hold up the production to fix yourself. If you want to do that, work on a strategy so it doesn't even get into the recording.
I love that. And I think that really makes a lot of sense. You know, when I first became a speaker, which was before I had a podcast, I remember one time having somebody who was a Toastmaster contact me and said, "Patty, that was hands down one of the best speeches I have ever heard. You covered that topic from A to Z and made it so that I understood it so well. However, you said the word actually 19 times. And I thought to myself, wow. And I got hung up about those 19 actuallys, right? And so I thought to myself, So I hired somebody to help me not do that anymore. And I didn't really think I used that word that often. I started asking my family and friends, like, "Oh yeah, you use it all the time. It's a bridge word for you," right? But I had to figure out like how to stop doing it. But I went back and I have since then many times listened to it. And I still think it was so good, if I may say so myself, that if somebody really took the time to count the actuallys instead of listening to what I said and implement it in their business, that's kind of on them, not on me.
In my book, Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy, somewhere in there, I say something like, here are the 5 steps to do something. And then I go ahead and list 7 of them. And what happened is I was editing the book. I ended up adding a couple, but forgot to change 5 to 7 or what have you. I think I've had 3 or 4 people point that out to me. And I say, yeah, I know. I have a marked up copy of this. If I ever upload an updated edition, I'll deal with it. But did you like the book? What did you like most about the book? And I just transitioned the conversation to what they liked about the book. The fact that they were paying that close attention, they noticed that I mentioned that there were 5 steps of something and then I listed 7, shows they were actually reading it. So I just went with, they probably gained some benefit from it. So while that person was counting your actuallys, they might have actually learned something from you.
Well, we can only hope, and that's why we do it, right? So I remember thinking how interesting that was. So let's kind of talk about some of the myths. So I always like to kind of focus on that and be a myth buster, right? You know, so that's just your opportunity to be a myth buster. So what do you think is a common myth about the podcasting industry?
Here's one of the big ones that I run into. Now, we've already covered parenthetically and tangentially how there's a conception that podcasting is hard, it requires a lot of effort, and by necessity, you're going to be doing tons of editing and post-production and all kinds of extraneous mumbo jumbo. So that's one of them we've kind of already dealt with. Here's another one. I've had folks object to the idea of using podcasting as a networking client attraction and celebrity expert branding tool by saying, well, you know, if I'm interviewing other people, then what I'm really doing is featuring them. How does that grow my business? Now, to me, that's missing the point. When you interview somebody on your show, you are in effect credentializing them. Whether your show has 5 listeners or 5 million listeners, the fact is you raise their cachet as your guest by featuring them and anointing them and saying, yes, I am interviewing you because I want to share you. I feel you have something valuable for my audience. So for them, you become a credentializer. And for your own audience, you become the medium through which that message is delivered. So let's say maybe, for instance, you yourself don't have an equivalent of the Reach system. You don't actually have a business that is specifically focused on helping people launch your podcast. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you bring me on as somebody who does. Your listeners and your tribe associate you with that message because you delivered me. So you are actually raising your own cachet with your audience at the same time by becoming the provider of information they otherwise would need to search for. And let's remember the most important thing. So, Patty, you're hosting this show and I'm your guest. Who is your most important listener right now?
Who is my most important listener?
Right
my
now.
My audience, for sure.
No.
No?
Nope.
Who's my most important listener?
I'll give you one more guess.
You.
Yep, me. Here are the reasons why. And this is, I share this because I want people to move beyond the listeners and downloads obsession. I am the one person, and you probably have lots of listeners. You may have people who hang on your every word, who email you every week and tell you what they loved about every episode. I have that going on with my podcast too. But in the end, I am the only person who is absolutely guaranteed to be here the entire time. I am the only person who is pretty much guaranteed that you're going to have an opportunity to speak with me outside of the interview itself, because I'm already here. We're going to have green room time. And furthermore, aside from your marketing efforts, I'm the one that's going to have more influence over how much reach this gets than anybody else. Because I'm the one that's going to be celebrating the fact that you credentialize me, that you deem me worthy to be on your show. And I'm going to want to celebrate that. And you're going to want to do everything possible to encourage me to want to do that, to be so excited about what an awesome interview this is and what a great show you have, that I want to tell everybody far and wide. This
and I've done that, I'm
reach.
Sure.
Exactly.
And I've done that.
Exactly. So I already know, and I'll just give our listeners, I won't get into details of it, but you already described to me the package you're going to send me that's going to give me marketing materials, swipe files, and other stuff that I can use this in to make it easy and fun for me to celebrate the fact that I was on your show. So by putting all those things together, I can be an enormous asset for you simply because I'm going to want to tell everybody, hey, I was on Patty's show. This is amazing stuff. You got to tune in for this. On the other hand, if you have a show that is disorganized, that doesn't really have the quality, that doesn't really lead to really good interviews, you may have your guests say, okay, thanks for having me on. And then when it comes time for you to promote the episode, they may post it once as a courtesy and say, hey, look, I was on the show. Go click.
That is so true. You know, and really that conversation really does make a difference. You know, I got to tell you,
yeah,
one time, it only happened to me once, but one time I was on this podcast of somebody who is a LinkedIn expert. And I really liked this person. And we were on this podcast and she'd ask me questions. And what was so funny is every single question she asked me, it didn't matter what my answer was. The very next thing she said was, oh, well, that's what I do for my clients. And then she would go into this like 2 or 3 minute thing, negating what I said about why should they listen to me, because she did that for them. Question after question after question. And at the end, I was thinking to myself, why did you even have me on this show? I mean, I felt like all she did was have me on to validate what she was saying she could do for her clients. I never promoted it once because I just felt like it was a waste of my time.
Right. Well, this brings up another point. Within the podcast reach system, we also teach something called seed-based marketing. Full credit where it's due. I got the concept from Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. He teaches his Dream Business Academy events, of which I've spoken today to them. And basically what I've done is I've shown you seed-based marketing, where in the framework of an ordinary conversation, I informed you that I am a public speaker who's appeared on stages around the country. I just worked into the everyday conversation. That's basically what seed-based marketing is. So what you do is, as a host or as a guest, but let's focus on the host side for right now. When your guest gives an answer, you may link that to what you do. So sometimes I may have a guest on my show and they say something insightful and I say, oh, that's interesting. I cover something similar in my book, Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy. Or rather than just ask a question, I may say, in my work with my clients, we have this formula we use to help their meetings suck less and turn their team meetings into centers of proactivity and productivity rather than gabfests. So here's my thought. Here's how I do it. What do you think about this? And how would you do it for your clients? So I do get myself in there, but at the same time, I then say, beam, over to you. So I create the linkages subtly between what I do and what they do, but I'm not looking to negate it. I'm actually looking to celebrate their point of view on it.
Well, there's always different perspectives, and that's the greatest thing, right? Is when somebody does something, that's why I love more than anything to collaborate and to have other people on my show that are in marketing. People say to me all the time, why do you have so many marketing people on? I'm like, because I'm serving my audience and I love to have conversation with people who get it. And I'd love to hear their perspective. I mean, they may share some strategy or some perspective. I think that's what it's all about. Otherwise, just have a solo show. I mean, if you want to be the only person talking, have a solo show.
Right. Let me give you one other quick example of seed-based marketing, because it's not only an interview tactic, it's also a conversation tactic for constantly planting seeds about what you do. So let's say somebody, I run into somebody and they say, hey, how you doing? And I could say, great. What are you up to? Not much. All right. Instead of saying that, I could say, well, you know, it's been an interesting day. This morning I had a meeting with my coaching clients and oh my stars, let me tell you what a mess. But here's what we did. And here's what to me is the win of the day for me. And I just briefly say what I did. They say, oh, that's interesting. So you are a coach, you're a consultant. So what I do is I put out just a little story about myself, right? Just mention in conversation. Yeah, you know, I have a couple podcast interviews I'm doing later today, just working something like that. And just plant little seeds that show people that you do stuff. And without getting into too much detail yourself, so you're not humble bragging or not so humble bragging, make them curious about it. It's like, oh, you have a podcast? Well, how's that working out for you? What do you like about that? How do you do that? Yeah.
Or tell me more. A lot of times that leads to, oh, well, tell me more about that. I didn't know that. I knew you did this, but I didn't know you did that. Oh, I want to introduce you to XYZ, right?
Exactly.
So there's a lot of ways that can work.
Yeah, so there's a way to do this. We have an entire module that walks you through it step by step. The point is you can insert yourself and include yourself in the conversation with your guests and let people see about you and what you do without negating them or making it a one-up contest.
Exactly. Okay, so now let's kind of shift a little bit. And you mentioned it earlier, talking about how a lot of podcasters really focus and think that the main objective is listeners and downloads.
I hear it all the time.
Right? You know, in email marketing, people think that that means open rate and click rate. You know, that's all they care about. Right? But the reality is there's so much more than that. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Oh, I love this one. So do you opt in for special reports that people offer?
Of course.
Do you read them all?
Of course not.
Right. The point, maybe you open up the email and say, oh, there's a link. I'll get to it later. And then you don't. Or you download it to your hard drive and say, I'll read this later on, but I want to get this email out of my inbox. And it never really happens. That's the approximate value of a download. Just because somebody downloaded an episode of your podcast doesn't mean they actually listened to it. It could be they clicked on it, it downloaded to their device or their computer, and it started to autoplay, and then they shut it off because they actually didn't even mean to download it. It just happened that way. So it could be a false download altogether. And listeners, what does that mean? Does that mean that somebody clicked on the post where your podcast episode is, that they listened to it? Now we have to look into percentage of episode listened to, average time on that post. It goes on and on and on and on. So listeners and downloads, just like email list sizes, are often a vanity metric. What matters is who actually responds to that. And that may be a smaller number, but it could be a more powerful number. That's why I made the observation earlier that, and I'm sure your listeners are amazing. I'm one of your listeners as well, so I think we're pretty cool people. But the most important listener you have right now is me, for the reasons I stated. Same thing when it comes to listeners and downloads. Which ones actually take action? Which ones are actually viable? If all it was about was just getting more listeners and downloads, by now, somebody would have figured out a way to sell you listeners and downloads.
Absolutely.
So here's what I say without belaboring the point too much. Of course, you want to have lots of listeners and lots of downloads. I'm not discounting that at all. However, you're going to monetize a lot faster when you have a strategy for using the podcast as your networking, client attraction, celebrity expert branding tool, and you're focusing on your relationships with your guests, or if you're the guest, the host. Listeners and downloads will happen when you treat them as a result rather than as a goal. So you focus on your goals. Get more clients. Get more features. Get more paying sponsors. Use this to get yourself booked on other people's shows, on other people's stages. Use it to get featured on top 20 lists in your industry so that you get that traction of being put up as the best of the best as far as your podcast. And from there, the listeners and downloads will happen because of all those attraction energies and the reputation you gain for putting out great content that people love to listen to. Also, make sure that when you structure your intro and outro scripts for your episodes, when you post your episodes, to make sure that you encourage people to subscribe. You give them micro commands that they're more likely to follow, and that will also help you increase your listeners and downloads over time. So you remember Steve Jobs?
Of course.
You've heard of the guy, right?
Yeah.
All he did was create a technological revolution, you know, big deal. What did he wear to work?
I think the same thing all the time.
Black turtleneck, jeans, and those white sneakers.
That's right.
Whether somebody's listening to this right now or listening in 10 years from now, just picture the face you see when I say the phrase President of the United States. What are they wearing?
Right. So they're wearing a suit with a blue tie, right?
Blue tie, red tie. Chances are they're wearing a suit. And even if we're at the point of somebody listening to this 10 years from now where we've had a female president, chances are that they will be wearing a suit as well, a female suit. So you associate the idea that the president wears a suit, and it's usually blue or black. You associate Steve Jobs with that turtleneck. You associate Mark Zuckerberg with either that t-shirt or that hoodie. The reasons you see that is because these are examples of not allowing micro decisions to get in their way. They don't spend a lot of time thinking about what they're going to wear that day because they have much bigger things that they're working on. They don't spend a half hour on, how am I going to match my pants and my shirt, or should I wear this shirt or that shirt or what have you? So I bring that up because you want to create the same thing for your listeners, is you want to essentially make their micro decisions for them. So by telling them to subscribe, telling them to do the things you want them to do, you will actually get more of them to do it simply because now they don't have to think about it. It's as simple as saying, tune in, lean in, and get ready to be inspired. That tells them, that commands them, before you even begin your interview or you begin your episode, to put themselves in a place where they can focus on what they're about to experience without them having to figure out what they're supposed to do. Just those little reminders.
I love
that. You do that consistently and you apply that to the idea of getting a bigger subscriber base, getting more people to listen, getting more people to download. That's how you use the goals to generate the results.
I love that. So I have a question. So I know there's a lot of talk and chatter and different views on whether you should or shouldn't have a dedicated website to your podcast. So where do you land on the should or shouldn't?
100% that you should. There are lots of reasons. Let me go over just a few of them.
Let's hear three. Tell us three.
So here's an example that happened with me just the other day. I know somebody, a friend of mine. They have a podcast where it's actually on the same website as their business website. They were recently approached by somebody who wanted to sponsor some of their episodes. But it seemed kind of weird to do that because now you're having a sponsor come in and put commercials on episodes that are going to be on the business that's used on the website that's used to promote your business. That almost creates not a confusion perhaps, but just maybe too much information. Also, if you want to bring in advertisers who are going to place banner ads on your website, you want to be able to sell that in such a way where it's not going to interfere with your business. Now, conversely, if you have a separate website for your podcast and you want to make sure there's stuff about your business, just make ads for your own stuff and add it to your website. Since you are, through your business, using the business to pay for the cost of the podcast, you become, in effect, your own advertiser and your own sponsor. So it's not only ethical and moral, but I would say almost an obligation to make sure that your audience is aware of those opportunities. And they may say, yeah, but if I have the podcast on the same website as my business and all they have to do is click one link and they can see my offers. Okay. If you have a separate website for your podcast and you have a banner ad for your course, all they have to do is click one link and they're going to see your course. So that argument right there. Finally. And I have an entire resource within the podcast reach system. It goes on for several pages, all the reasons why you want to really have a separate website for your podcast. I'm going to give you a really big one right now. When you show the marketplace that you have invested that much in your new media presence, it is assumed that you are a pro, that you would make a great guest for their show, that you yourself have an audience, a following, a reach, and it will go so far and speak so many sentences you yourself don't have to say in terms of getting you bookings on other people's outlets, whether it be their podcasts, their live streams, teaching masterclasses to their audiences, doing webinars where you can make offers, speaking on stages, both live and virtual, because you have invested in your personal celebrity expert brand at a higher level that brings with it the connotation of your excellence.
I love that answer. I think that you really did that so well. And, you know, I feel like when I listen to you, I love the premise and the concept of what you are teaching about how having your own podcast is literally creating your own media outlet, right? I mean, that's exactly what you're doing. And I'm all about marketing media and money. So for me, I really love the way you do it. I love the way you talk about it. And I think it's really great that people are having a conversation about it, because I think it's one of those things that not everybody has a conversation about because they are stuck on those downloads and listeners. So I love that we did have that conversation. So thank you so much. So Adam, how can people connect with you? Because I know they're going to want to.
Well, I would encourage everybody to visit the website at www.thereachsystem.com. That's www.thereachsystem.com. You can discover more about the Reach philosophy overall. You can discover how the podcast Reach system works. And we also have some insights and articles that delve into more of these topics like you and I discussed. We touched on a few of them, and you'll find some of those laid out in greater detail. And we also add that thing fairly regularly where, in many cases, I'm responding, whether it's directly or indirectly, to something I hear again and again. For example, the listeners and downloads question, and also the should you have a separate website for your podcast question, which itself is a topic of two of the insights. So I encourage you to go there and begin to get a sense of how the Reach system can benefit your business and your brand.
So this is the portion of the show that I always like to call the hashtag open mic, my version of social karaoke, where we hand the mic over to our guest and we ask them to share their number one marketing, media, money strategy. So you've been very generous. You've shared a lot of strategies, but if you had to narrow it down to the number one marketing, media, or money strategy, what would it be?
Do I have 1 minute here?
Yes.
Because I want to tell just a little bit of a story. Patty, how many times have you accepted somebody's Facebook friend request or LinkedIn connection request, and 10 seconds later, you get a direct message from them? It's about 4-page scrolls long. It's all about their results or all kinds of different ways they're a web developer, and invites you to schedule a demo.
Every day.
How many times do you get somebody who immediately says, "Hey, how are you? How's business?"
Often.
Yep. Do you also get the ones that say, "Hey, Patty, thanks for connecting. I see that you're doing a marketing business. How's that going for you today? I hope you're well."
I don't even respond to those ones.
Okay, that's where I was going next. All those examples I just gave you probably end up leaving the person red checked.
Correct.
All right. So how about when somebody is their intro says, "Hey, I'm a SaaS developer. You want to hop on the phone real quick and discuss how we can help you?"
Actually, that wouldn't go very far with me either.
Exactly. Now let's compare that to, "Hey, Patty, great to connect with you. I have a podcast. We're looking for guests. Want to be on?"
Well, I'd respond. That wouldn't necessarily mean I'd say yes. I'd want to have more information.
Though, but I'd respond. Yeah. Right. So you saw the shift right there.
Right.
Is it opens a conversation. When you host a podcast and you use it as your networking, client attraction, celebrity expert branding tool, you can use that to open conversations. So rather than being a taker. Hey, hop on the phone with me, schedule a demo with me, have virtual coffee with me. You lead with a give, like, I have a podcast. Let me celebrate you. Let me interview you. Let me introduce you to my audience. That's a conversation opener. Where it goes is wherever it goes. As you said, you'll read it. There's a high chance you'll respond to it. Maybe you'll say yes to the opportunity. Maybe you won't. But the conversation's open. Whereas with those other modalities, there was no conversation. In most chance cases, you won't even respond to it. And that's what I hear from people again and again and again. So basically, what I would say to your audience is that hosting a podcast enables you to open conversations that close deals faster than all of the direct message strategies you see out there today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as if that wasn't so nice, that wasn't so generous, you actually came bearing gifts too. So why don't you share with the audience a little bit about the gift that you have for them? We'll put the link in the show notes. They'll be able to get that, but go ahead and tell us a little bit about the gift.
Okay. So if you're curious about how the podcast reach system works, we do have an on-demand training for it. You can simply visit the link that Patty's going to have in the show notes, and it'll take you to a video where you'll be able to watch, and we go through all the common objections and we assiduously rip them to shreds. Then we go through the 8 stages of the podcast reach system and how they work together to build you something where you serve from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion, making a difference for your community, market, and audience, using your podcast as your prime networking, client attraction, and celebrity expert branding tool that opens conversations that lead to closed deals. And how about that for putting all my taglines together in one long sentence?
I know. That was really good. I love the way you managed to be able to make that happen.
And this is one other quick thing for your listeners. If you're concerned about, well, I don't know if I want to be a podcast host because I don't know if I'd be very good. You're going to get very good simply by doing it. A year ago, I couldn't have done what I just did because I wasn't close enough to all those messages. But just through sheer repetition, sheer consistency, using what Grandma Homie used to call stick-to-itiveness, which is a real word, I got good at it. You will become an amazing host yourself when you're willing to make that investment in yourself and serve your community by opening those conversations and raising others up. Because remember, a rising tide buoys all ships. So again, go to the link that Patty's going to have in the show notes and check that out, and you'll see how it all works.
Perfect. So thank you so much, Adam. I really appreciate you taking the time today to spend with me and my audience. I appreciate it. I love your strategies. I know they love them too. Thank you for the gift and for giving us the information so that they can move forward and learn more.
Patty, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I know we've had conversations like this before. And anything I can do to be of service to your community, market, and audience, just let me know.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And while I'm saying thank you, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, the Exacta Corporation, developer of the Family Organizer Plus platform. And for more information, check them out at www.exactacorp.com. And if you would like a simple answer to the question, where should I focus my time and energy to attract highly qualified, ideal clients? Then take the Marketing Media Money Assessment, and in 3 minutes or less, you'll know where you're excelling, where you can make a few changes, and what steps to take to achieve massive results. So go to m3bizquiz.com, m3bizquiz.com. And lastly, thank you for joining us on the Marketing Media Money Podcast. And if you enjoyed today's episode, and I'm sure you did, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. Thank you so much, everyone. We'll see you next week. Have a phenomenal day.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.